It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gerard Mayo today, team practicing. He spoke before practice began. By the way, I want to issue a quick correction. Blake Snell has a two-year deal, but there's a player option for next year, so he could opt out maybe. He may have to trade for him. He may not be a free agent. Either way, that's Gerard Mayo. And a comment that you had a bit of an issue with, I just saw you tweet out there. You've got to get good at football, or you become good at football by playing football. It's one thing to go out there and read a card. It's a very reactive game, Gerard Mayo says. That's all well and good, except for, well, what?
Drake May?
That's the little problem there.
Who'll literally be reading cards and running the scout team and trying to learn and get better by watching football from the sidelines.
But wait a minute. I thought you thought that all rookie quarterbacks would be better not playing ever.
Absolutely.
So they shouldn't be playing football.
If you mandated every rookie quarterback sit for a year, I think in totality, they'd all be better off for it. More quarterbacks would succeed than fail.
So you disagree that by becoming good at football, you have to play football?
No, I think you have to play, but if you delay
it a whole year.
Yes. So you don't, you really don't understand the concept.
That's a whole year where you're not playing football.
You're learning. Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're not playing.
You're on an equal playing field with every other quarterback that enters the league.
None of whom are playing football.
None of whom are playing football.
Ipso facto, not.
Because you're
getting better.
It's called redshirting.
They're not
getting
better.
It was how it worked in college football forever.
Right.
A lot of smart men, a lot of great coaches believed you had to develop. By watching,
develop 17-year-olds, sure, not
22-year-olds or just grown beard. I mean, Drake May couldn't look any younger, couldn't act any younger. He's played two seasons.
You don't think there's a difference between 17-year-olds and 22-year-olds?
No, I do. I think they're both young and green.
Okay. You get better at football by playing football.
But in general,
you really get better by sitting and not playing at all.
I actually agree with you. You get better at playing football by playing football. That I believe in.
I don't think you do.
Oh, I do. No, I 100% do.
But you think the redshirt thing is
But there
a great
are people
idea.
That aren't ready. There okay. are people that aren't prepared. It's like in high school, they tell you that all the time. You go to like your kid plays high school, they're like, this is a developmental sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like any other sport. You know, the senior to the sophomore is a big difference. The senior's driving to the game, he's got a mustache, he's got testosterone, and you're a poor little boy.
What? He's got testosterone.
Testosterone.
Like, whoa.
That's the reality, right? Like
yes.
The maturation process. And I think there is similar. Like if you look at Trent Williams, for example,
mm-hmm.
versus a rookie left tackle, Trent Williams is a man. That's a man.
Yeah.
That's a man right there. And the rookie is green and, you know, maybe isn't shaved. He's 21, 22 out of LSU. Will Campbell, my guy. We'll use him as an example.
Okay.
He's not a man.
Joe Alt.
But he's going to be playing a man sport right out the gates. So there is a definite developmental curve there. But let's focus on this. You're nitpicking and you're trying to you're like my wife.
That's
you're bringing up an old argument.
Exactly what I'm
this
doing.
This is not what we're talking about today. We're talking about Drake May.
My favorite part of yesterday was yelling about that. So,
me
yeah.
too.
It was.
I enjoyed it.
I wanted to try and recreate that magic, get that
Who
spark
back. Who did I
back.
See down at Gillette? And they were like, I got in the car in like the 5 o'clock hour, and you and Arcan are just screaming at each
oh,
other.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we had a good one. It
was
our first
stuff.
Real good yeller of an argument.
I enjoyed it.
But the focus here on not nitpicking me. Let's nitpick Gerard Mayo for
Fine.
A minute.
Okay.
Let's nitpick the head coach who broke his streak of really impressive media performances at one day with the Greg Hill Show. I thought he was very good, although others found nits to pick in that even.
Okay.
But today, it's hard to kind of bring together the ideas that you believe young players to develop must absolutely play football. And your most important young player is not going to play football.
No.
Even though you said when he played fake football, he was better than the other guy at it. He didn't embarrass himself, correct?
No, he did not.
Like, an argument can be made. Somebody could take the field and you just go, oh, my God. He is not ready.
This isn't going to work.
This
yet. Right,
is,
exactly.
Like he needs
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm.
No one argued that. Not Gerard Mayo, not Drake May, not Alex Van Pelt. Nobody argued.
I'll take it a step further. I don't think anybody really had a problem with any aspect of Drake May's game.
Nope.
I don't think that his arm strength, his accuracy, his moving in the pocket, his reading the defense, the footwork, all that stuff. I feel like everybody was pretty impressed with it. It's not like he was putting up huge numbers, but I think the reason for that is because guys were dropping balls, and the most part, he was doing his job. He was putting balls where he wanted to, and he was negotiating the pocket very well. He didn't get sacked a lot, and yeah, I don't really remember anybody criticizing anything about those preseason games.
And yet, you're not going to play him. Even though philosophically you believe playing guys is how you get them ready to play. And I continue to go back to Jerod Mayo. A big part of his experience is his playing experience. He brings it up all the time.
Right.
8 years. He was a captain. He was a leader. He did this. He learned that. He watched this. All these things. What day did he start?
Day one.
Day one. Jerod Mayo started.
Yeah.
At.
I had to stop and think for a second, but yeah, he played right away.
A pretty premium position, middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. Like, you're involved in a lot.
Replacing a legend in Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it was.
And I
sure.
assume that was green dot times, right?
Might have been hand green signals. Dot right away, maybe.
Hell, either way, he was involved in communications and calls and dealing with the back end and the front end and the whole damn thing. So he learned from playing as a green rookie out of Tennessee. And yet, here we are. We're Drake May watching. We're on the Drake May wait. When is May watch?
That's certainly what it looks like.
Did that annoy you or no? I mean, it's just me.
What?
Because I love
him
the
saying
quote.
It?
I'm torn here. This is typical Andy. I can bitch about anything.
Right.
I love the quote because it's hardo. It's old school. You get better at playing football by playing football. You don't get ready for football by not watching, watching. You know, that whole thing. I love
sure.
it. Feels like a Dan Campbell type thing. Right? Except then he's not adhering to his own quote and philosophy with the quarterback who I admittedly want to play. I want to see him. I don't want to be bored and that whole thing, despite my belief that, yes, a redshirt year would benefit on totality everybody, just like the 508 says, teachers do a one-year teaching practicum under a master teacher, then make $35,000 per year in year one. Drake will be fine. See, teachers do it. You know how you learn to teach? By watching.
Watching other people teach.
Then you teach a year later.
Yeah. It's basically just like being a teacher. Let me say this. There is sort of an odd consistency to this, right? Because you do want your young players to get better, obviously, but Jerod Mayo's thing all this time has been that Jacoby Brissett gives us a better chance to win. So if he believes that Jacoby Brissett's going to give you a better chance to win and he's starting Jacoby Brissett, then that's a reason to keep your young guy on the bench. You know, it just is.
Like, does he really believe that or he says that?
That's what he's saying. So there's consistency to what he's saying. Whether he believes it or not, I mean, that's for us to decide, and I don't agree with it, but I don't think he really believes it either, but that's the stance that they've taken.
He had a throwaway line today about Jacoby and like, you know, give us a chance to win, take care of the football. Hopefully there's no interceptions or something. And I was like,
right.
Why are we bringing that up? Leave that. Forget about that. No one wants to talk about him throwing interceptions. But I don't know if he believes that or not. I don't know if he truly believes. The other thing is, I'm starting to think, unlike me, who believes he's not breakable, I wonder if they have doubts about the breakability, the fragileness
of Drake May.
Of Drake May, which doesn't worry me
at all. They're acting like they do.
Yes, they're acting like they do. And that worries me. Because if they have any of those doubts, I don't like it. Because I want a guy that you're all in on. You took him number three. I want you talking the talk, walking the walk. And that's how I am. I think Drake May is unbreakable. They are treating him like he's a little breakable.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The stance from the team is that Brissett, we think, is just better and a better chance to win right now. But the scuttlebutt around the team, obviously, and from people like us and the reporters and everybody else who are down there, is that you don't want to ruin Drake May. You don't want to put him out there, have the offensive line let him down, or the guys drop the passes, or him make mistakes, or whatever. And then you ruin him and you lose him. And that implies that, like Mac Jones before him, he's in the mental fragility sort of side of the aisle. And that if things don't go well, then you're just going to lose him completely. And the same thing Parcells said. Well, you could lose your quarterback. That's why I didn't play Romo right away. And it's like, okay, well, if you think that little of Tony Romo, that a little adversity would have completely lampooned his career, then just say that. Like, I'm not sure I think that about Drake May. I don't think that was the MO on him coming out of school, and it doesn't seem like that's his personality now. Who knows until you're actually out there doing it, but it's not how it comes off.
No, he does not. And this is a little military style, and I guess old school football too, is like they try to push you to your breaking point because they want to know where your breaking point is. They don't want you breaking at the most inopportune time, right? They want you breaking before so they can realize, oh, this guy's breakable. Right. We need to move on. Like Mac Jones, I think you benefited from him breaking in year two. You know why? It's better than him breaking in year six when he's making $55 million a year.
Sure. I would have rather he, you know, built off his Pro Bowl rookie
that
season,
was never
but that would have been
happen.
Fine, too.
That was never going to happen.
It might have been if, they'd kept, the if most... they didn't have Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. I think he probably would have had a better
smoke
season.
Smoke and mirrors. At your best case scenario for Mac Jones was like Jared Goff, where you realize, no, I don't want him anymore.
Maybe.
He's not that good.
Jared Goff was in a Super Bowl the second year.
And he might be in another one this year. Did you know? Here's a little sneak peek if you want a good podcast.
I think the Lions could be there for sure.
Six rings and football things with Mike Giardi, mm-hmm. who apparently did his homework. Do you know the Lions play 15 of 17 games in a dome?
No.
Huh. That's really good for the Lions.
That's
and
pretty
Jared
good for
Goff.
Them, I would say. Absolutely.
Jared Goff is a dome QB.
Yeah.
That is very Drew Brees of him. Put the Lions in the number one seed in the NFC.
All right, let's take a phone call here before we go to break. 617-779-7937. Joe is in Randolph. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Well, just want to say, as I cut up my blame pie over here, I have to give a lot of blame for this current status of the Patriots for Robert Kraft. Because instead of signing quality players and coaches, he went out and spent $1 billion on the world's largest TV screen and refurbishing the lighthouse. Was that misspent money or what? What do you guys think?
I agree. I think that was, the lighthouse, the video board. You could have done all of that and also signed Calvin Ridley and also signed, the tackle that we like.
Jonah Williams.
Jonah Williams.
I like that argument more.
There was other
more.
Things you could have done.
The Jonah Williams argument really grows on me.
Tyron Smith.
Forget Tyron Smith. Jonah Why? Williams, 2 years, $30 million. For a team that has unlimited salary cap over the... So he could have started for this year and brought credibility and stability to the left tackle spot, which I think may have then allowed them to play Drake May week one. And then if he stinks or isn't good, he can be a high-priced backup for 1 year. It's not the worst thing in the world if you have a $15 million dollar swing tackle with all this cap space because you drafted Will Campbell and he beats him out next year, right? So the simple answer was there. It was Jonah Williams. I'm more and more on board with that. The fans that bring that up, I'm in solidarity. Let's go, peeps.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have gotten an update from the Boston Red Sox. Uh-oh. They are stuck in traffic, it sounds like.
Appropriate.
And it looks like we're going to be talking to Alex Cora at 4 o'clock. Not 3:30, not 3 as it was originally supposed to be. Now it looks like we're going to be talking to him at 4 o'clock right after we talk to Adam Schefter. So that should be a nice
double dip
nice
there.
Flowing continuation of
Two
our conversation
Two very knowledgeable
there.
Men that
Absolutely.
Are going to bring a lot of information to the table.
No question about it. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you right now. Here's Justin Turpin.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
With what's trending. Gerard Mayo from earlier today. High praise for the run game. For your New England Patriots, the best thing they've done all preseason is that run game, opening up that run game. I went back and looked at some of these stats in the preseason, and the run game was not super effective. I'd say it was fine. I didn't think it was some major strength or something that I looked at and thought, "Watch out, NFL! This team's run game is going to take the league by storm." That being said, we all agree, or you and I agree at least. That Ramondre Stevenson is probably or definitely the best player on the offense, so the run game should be the best thing that they do this year, right? I mean, like, it's,
sure.
The offensive line's not great, but we're talking about run blocking here. It's a little different from pass blocking, and obviously their running back is considered one of their stronger, more productive guys.
So, is it not possible that there is truth in his statement, the run game is the best thing we did offensively this summer, and the run game stinks? Two truths.
Those can absolutely be true.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the passing game wasn't overly impressive. The offensive line wasn't overly impressive. The short passing game, whatever you want to tell me, the passing game wasn't good. The pass protection wasn't good. So, sure, the run game may have been the king of the dip poos, as I like to say. But that doesn't mean it was good or good enough or something you can lean on.
Not necessarily.
Did we play the sniff test?
Go ahead and run this one through the sniff test.
No. I think it stinks.
It's the sniff test with Arcand and Hart.
That's right, it stinks!
On WEEI.
All right. Can we hear the quote one more time? Can you play the quote while this is going on here, if we possibly could, just so we get the full aroma, a full strong whiff of what Gerard Mayo's cooking up here? Because I do think that there is exactly what you just said a second ago. The best thing we did was the run game. Does that necessarily make it good? Does that mean it's a good or a strong run game? Is it going to be in the top half of rushing attacks here? Let's listen one more time.
I think that's one of the best things they've done throughout the entire camp. And hopefully that continues going forward.
I agree, Gerard, but it's faint praise. It's the kid with, you know, four Fs and a D minus, and he's like, hey, I got a D minus in biology.
Woo! Well,
I guess that's good. Best you can do. It's something that's not an F. He spent a lot of time today. There were multiple references in his press conference about the running game, and I know it's continuing his narrative from the entirety of the offseason.
Right.
Alex Van Pelt started it the first time we ever saw him, remember, in that, like, hostage video on Patriots.com before anybody had talked to him, anything. Like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to lean on the run game. You know, Ramondre Stevenson, run. That's all great. When they tried to run the ball in practice against themselves, didn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
When they tried to run the ball in practice against other teams, didn't often look good. Now, there was some yardage. The very first carry, remember in the Carolina game, I think Ramondre had an 11-yard run and then exited.
And that
the game.
Was his only run. Right. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So there have been some flashes of good things. My problem is, when I've seen Ramondre Stevenson gain yards, it was all after contact. I felt like he was getting hit like a yard behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And yes, he ended up with a 4-yard run, but it was mostly Ramondre Stevenson. And I don't know if that's sustainable. The poor guy, if he's got to carry the ball 280 times and he's getting hit in the backfield like three quarters of the time, that doesn't add up. That adds up to a lot of trips to the training room and the little blue med tent on the sideline.
Yes, and a lot of these runs, well, not a lot of them, but some of these runs, and the average gets skewed a little bit by Drake May scrambling.
Yeah.
I mean, is that part of the run game? I don't know.
Absolutely.
We're not going to be seeing that in the first couple weeks.
It is when Gerard, remember he made the comment about the O-line issues were overblown and we averaged 5 yards. Yeah, because Drake May is having like a 17-yard scramble. That's not the run game. And we're going to get maybe into that later, which I think is an interesting aspect about Drake May's game in terms of how much of a runner he is and will be when he's on the field. But no, I think there is a philosophical desire to run the ball really well and to have it be the heart of the run game. He also poo-pooed in a weird way the run game. He went back to like players. He's like, really, there's 5 runs. There's only 5 runs in the NFL.
You got the early left, downs. You got the right, you got the sweep, you got the dive. It's like,
feels disrespectful to like the 32 teams that have run game coordinators, and you're like, what do you guys coordinate? There's only 5 of them. Pick one of the 5 and run it. It's either left or it's right. It's zone or it's man. There's not that much you can do.
It's like, the pass game, you got 5 steps and crisscross. You got the 2 steps and turn. I mean, come on.
There's only
that
so
hard.
Many routes. Some teams number them. There's 1 to 9. There's literally only 9 routes for some teams on their route tree. That statement to me, that the best thing they've done all summer, it may be true, but it also doesn't really pass the sniff test, if that makes any sense. It's the best thing in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You looked in the fridge, and there's some things that are walking on their own in the back of the fridge, and you're like, we're just going to leave those back there. They're essentially gremlins now, and we don't look at them.
There's like the blue fuzz coming off of them.
And then you got some cheese, and you're like, is this blue cheese? Did it start out as blue cheese? It's blue cheese
now.
Right. That seems edible. If I throw it on a pizza and melt it, it'll probably be fine, or on a burger. So, yeah, the run game is the blue cheese of the Patriots offense. It's edible, but I'm not sure it's good.
All right. Well, there you go. That is Gerard Mayo. What he's saying is the best thing the offense does, and it may be just the blue cheese of the offense, if we're going to be praising it that way. I think that's an apt term, to good way to put it.
Can we sniff test one more thing, Craig?
Sure.
So, I went down there today because I want to keep in touch with the team.
Right.
Connection, do the podcast, do the pregame, the postgame show. Hunter Henry was asked, I believe by our own Mego, about how good this offense can be. And his response was, as good as we want to be.
Hmm.
What, What do you think about that statement from Hunter Henry? I'll let you sniff test that one, because I had an immediate reaction in front of him that I tried to keep within myself so he wouldn't see the obvious rolling
right
in my eyes.
As good as we want to be. That implies that they're not going to want the offense to be very good this year, I guess, which I don't think is true. I think they're going to want to try and exceed people's expectations with a very low bar. Maybe that's sort of what he's going for. Like, yeah, no one believes in us. We can be much better than you think we actually are. But in terms of as good as they want to be, I'm sure they want to be a top offense in the league. There's no way they're going to be.
That's like me saying I can be as tall as I want to be. It ain't happening. You know, being good requires talent, correct?
Yes.
Like, there are teams that I legitimately think can
it helps.
Can be as good as they want to be, right? Like, that you look at it and you go, damn, they have a tight end. They have two receivers. They have a running
49ers.
Back. They can be as good as they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the perfect example is the Philadelphia Eagles, because it seems like they have some weird pissing contest with their head coach and their quarterback and
right
the offense and what they should be doing. I think they can be as good as they want to be in Philly offensively. I think the Patriots have a ceiling. There is an absolute limit to their production on offense. It involves the offensive line. It involves a lack of a number one receiver. It involves a lack of experience at receiver. It involves all the things we've talked. It involves the quarterback position, one either being a journeyman backup or the other being a green rookie. People are telling me that's redundant. Is that redundant?
A green rookie is kind of redundant, yeah.
So he's just a green QB or a rookie QB.
Rookie QB is fine.
But it's redundant. Jumbo shrimp.
Kind of. You can be a green QB and be like a second-year player if you redshirted the first year, something like that, or didn't play much in your first year. You can still kind of be a green quarterback, but a rookie quarterback is a rookie quarterback.
Okay, I don't believe they can be as good as they want to be. It does not in any way pass the sniff test. It is rotten roast beef that is green in your fridge. Don't eat it.
I agree. Can the defense be as good as it wants to be?
No. None of this team is like some super team. The defense is good. They have talent. Now, can Christian Gonzalez, we'll keep sniffing this out.
A lot of sniffing going on today.
Can Christian Gonzalez be as good as he wants to be?
I think so. I know
too.
He hasn't had a great camp and a great preseason or anything like that, but I saw what I believe to be enough talent
right
in those first four games, whatever it was that he played last year. I thought, at least what I thought, was enough talent that he could go out there and build off of that and be something special.
So if he
yes
wants to be really good, it means he will probably put in the extra work. Because all you hear about is, like, Stephon Gilmore. They know the route you're running based on the amount of weight you put on your right toe.
Right.
Like, those types of things. To me, seeing those things, working towards those things, that is, we can be as good as we want to be. Because if I know that, now I can cover you. And I agree with you. Size, length, speed, athleticism. Christian Gonzalez seems to have the total package. So talent will not limit him. It will be, does he want to work? Does he want to improve? Does he learn from mistakes? Does he take coaching? Does he do what he's supposed to do? All those things. So Christian Gonzalez can be as good as he wants to be. No, I don't believe the defense can be as good as it wants to be, because when you take away your two best front seven players, your best pass rusher, gone, as Bill Belichick noted on the coach podcast.
Yes, he did.
When he did a nice rundown of the transactions from the Patriots this offseason and offered no commentary on any of them, brought nothing to the table, just listed
the transactions. No, just these are all my guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only comment.
They must have liked my guys. They re-signed all my guys. Me and Matt, we brought these guys in and they re-signed them.
And Patricia's like, yep.
And then no Christian Barmore. And those are limitations on this defense. That's just the reality. But beyond getting into, is Marcus Jones a good slot corner? Does Jonathan Jones stay healthy? Are you too redundant in your skills at safety? So, I think we've hashed out. The only thing that passes the sniff test in terms of the wording, as good as we want to be or as good as he wants to be, Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Can be as good as he wants to be.
I'd agree with
that. That's why you listen to him each and every week on the Jones and Keefe show, because he brings it.
Yes.
The heat.
He's
fastballs.
Got lots to say. It just doesn't say it to them. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'll tell you who doesn't believe that the Patriots can be as good as they want to be. Las Vegas and bettors in general. You had this in our show email today. On the most money bet on a team to miss the playoffs. Do you have these numbers? I'm looking at them right now. The Patriots to miss the playoffs are minus 1,600. That's the most money that's been bet on a team to miss the playoffs. Now, just so you don't think I'm talking about the long odds, this is money that's been bet, right?
Yes.
The Bears, for example, are the number one team. They've gotten the most money's come in on the Bears to miss the playoffs because they're minus 110. That's
right.
Like a decent return if you hit that bet. Chargers, minus 135. which I think is pretty low for them, considering all the guys who left their offense this year. The Patriots are minus 1,600, which means if you bet $100, you're getting $1.60 or something, right? Is that right? I mean, it's a very low amount of money here that you're getting in return, but people are so sure that this team is going to miss the playoffs, they're saying to hell with it.
It's better than the stock market. It's better than the bank. I'm getting a return on investment. It's negative return on investment, essentially, but I'm getting more money. That's what they're saying. That's how sure they are that the Patriots are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, $100 to make $16. That's not very good. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to bet and how to spend your money and what to do or anything like that. It's not that kind of show. We'll do pick segments, you know, here and there over the course of the football season, I'm sure. But anytime you have to put up $100 to make $16, and the fact that that's the third most popular miss the playoffs bet should tell you something. For unders, the most bet unders, Patriots are number two on that one. The Bears are number one at 8.5. That under's getting bet a lot. Patriots at 4.5 is the second highest most bet under. And that means that most people are expecting they will be worse than last year. Then there's the Steelers at 7.5. That's another under. And in terms of the handle for most bets on the under, the Patriots are number one. So that means the sharps are on the Patriots to be under 4.5, basically. The big bettors, the big big whales out there in Vegas, nobody is really thinking much about this Patriots team right now.
We have borderline breaking news here. We don't need the sounder.
I like the sounder.
But I told you during the break that Bill Belichick had joined Instagram.
Yes.
Now he's posting on Instagram.
He's been his first Instagram
videos.
Post.
He has two posts, including a video.
Is he doing like a TikTok dance?
Well, it's kind of a hostage video.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. He's in front of the... Okay. We know she's probably taping him, right? Like, she's got the camera phone out. She is girlfriend. I forget her name. Jordan something?
You shouldn't forget her name because she's the first person that the Bill Belichick Instagram account followed.
I don't think I follow her. Should I follow her?
I'm following her.
Okay, hold on.
It says I follow her.
Jordan Isabella, is this her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan
okay.
IR Hudson.
I'll throw her a follow.
He just announced it to the world on the Pat McAfee show as well.
Announced that he's on Instagram?
That he has joined InstaFace is what he said.
InstaFace.
Yep, that's
playing
right.
Up his old joke. That one never gets old.
It is pretty interesting.
Hasn't beaten that horse.
After signing on with a fantasy football company, which is what Underdog is, by the way, and he has gone on and on about how little he thinks about fantasy football, he's now joining Instagram, which was something he also mocked during his time as head coach. It's interesting how being out of the game and maybe, you know, in a different type of game get you doing things you weren't necessarily all that keen on.
Does he need the money
earlier on in your life? I would think not, considering he was making $25 million a year. But
what I look at,
it's expensive to have a compound of houses in Nantucket, you know.
True.
So I mean,
it is Taxachusetts. He likes to point that out.
I would confirm that.
And that's not just income taxes. I'm sure there's high real estate taxes in Nantucket that he has to pay every quarter.
Do we have this video? Do we have the sound of it? Can we wait on that?
Can we make sure he didn't swear?
Making
is
big
it
demands.
Clean?
That'd be funny if he did. What's up, bitches? No, Bill, come on.
I almost don't know where to not expect him next. It's like
he's popping up everywhere.
Yeah. Like, could he do a cameo at WrestleMania or something? Because I know there's always been a tie between the Patriots and Triple H and the McMahons and that whole thing. So I almost feel
tie between them?
I don't know. I've seen. There was a post-game party, one of them, where I was looked up and I was standing between Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And I was
really?
Like, I didn't know they'd be here. Why are they here?
Interesting.
I didn't know what to do, so I walked away.
Okay. Here's Bill Belichick's debut Instagram reel.
No, any announcement for the people?
Pat, I can't.
Oh, no, wait
really
a minute. I didn't set that up very well. Let me rephrase. This is Bill Belichick announcing that he's joined InstaFace on the Pat McAfee show.
No, any announcement for the people?
Pat, I can't really believe I'm doing this, but I've joined InstaFace.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's on InstaFace.
He also released a statement on InstaFace.
Yeah, let's get that
one,
too.
Yeah, do we have that? If we can...
It's in words, if you want. I can read it to you if you'd like.
I thought he has a video.
Yeah, there's a video that goes with the words, too.
Yes.
It's a two... what do you call that when you have two in one post? There's a video tied to that, too.
Okay, well, what's the statement say?
During my NFL career, I had built-in opportunities to express myself at a moment's notice. The circumstances are different now, so here I am. I am, quote, surprisingly, end quote, thrilled to announce my decision to utilize social media platforms with the intention of connecting directly with my fans and the public.
Hang on a second. It sounds like there's a gun to his head while he's writing
this. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I am 100%. Very excited to join social media. Like, oh, my God. All right, go on.
This debut was inconceivable a few months ago, but exciting now. Follow me at Bill Belichick on InstaFace! !!
Wow.
This was inconceivable when I thought I was going to be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and then they didn't want me, so I've had to go to my second plan, and plan B, well, who saw this coming?
He's almost got 40,000 followers in 20 minutes.
I followed him. I got to. Everybody's going to follow him. Yeah. He's Bill freaking Belichick, even though the content has been lackluster at best from all of these so far. He's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he certainly is. All right, speaking of which, Adam Schefter, who is very much Adam Schefter, will be joining the show next. Back here, WEEI Afternoons. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. And joining us right now on the hotline, the man in command, the guy that you turn to for all of your big news all throughout the NFL season. Very happy to be introducing him, reintroducing him, I should say, to the WEEI audience. I'm talking, of course, about the great Adam Schefter of ESPN. Schefty, how you doing, buddy?
Christian, Andy, happy to be with you. Happy week one, and hello, Boston.
Nice to have you. It's great to have you back on these airwaves. We want to go ahead and start with the Patriots, obviously, as they get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. Jamar Chase back out on the practice field. I feel like a lot of guys in Vegas are scrambling to reset that line back to 9.5 or whatever it was a couple of days ago. What do you have for us on the situation there in Cincy?
Well, here's the deal. Basically, this is Jamar's decision about how he wants to handle this, right? And so he's back out there today. I don't know that as of right now that they've made a lot of progress towards a new deal. But we're at the point here where these types of instances and situations where one little gesture can help turn things the way that somebody wants. And maybe the Bengals view this as a goodwill gesture, and maybe that's the difference in these two sides coming together and bridging their differences. But again, I don't know that they've been a whole lot closer, but we are also at a critical juncture at the NFL season. A lot is on the line. We know the stakes. If he's going to play Sunday at all, you can't not practice this week. You can't not practice today. So he's out there. Now, I have not heard a full report yet of exactly what he's doing, because he really hasn't had a football practice all summer. He's gone through a couple of individual drills of practices, but he hasn't really practiced the way you would need to play in a game. And so he's going to have a big decision here. Either you're going to take a deal that may not be exactly what you want, or you're going to bet on yourself, or you're going to go rogue and tough it out. That's up to Jamar Chase. And again, we'll see how it all plays out. But I don't think it's settled just yet. It's obviously an encouraging sign for the Bengals that he's back. But I think we've seen this go in many different directions to proclaim that it's safe and sound that he's going to be out there at this time just yet. Certainly today is a positive step, but we've seen positive steps before only to see it go the other way.
Adam, you know, in the Boston market, we microanalyze everything that happens, every word that's said, and we've done that for 8 months now with Jerod Mayo, since he had that press conference with Thunder at Gillette Stadium and straight on through his most recent press conferences, you know, anointing Jacoby Brissett the starter. I'm wondering, all the people you talk to throughout the league, what has the sort of reaction or temperature been in terms of teams just sort of observing the first offseason of the Jerod Mayo tenure here in New England?
Well, I think there's a lot more attention in New England, in the Boston area, on what he's doing than there is across the league. I don't think that teams around the league are focused in and concentrating on what he's doing until they start playing and until they start winning games. Mm-hmm. And then you start noticing everything that somebody does, like Bill Belichick and on to Cincinnati and him joining Instagram today. Like, that's when you know the world is Bill Belichick is on Instagram, but that is, in fact, the case. I think it's the community there, the city there, is a lot more dialed in to his business, Rod Mayo's business, than the world at large, because it's more important to the people in Boston than it is to people in Jacksonville or San Francisco or Denver. They're not worried about that right now. They're worried about their own problems. So they're not focused in on that right now. They want to see how the team plays, and I think then we'll get some commentary about how the head coach is performing.
Well, the quarterback decision was a big one here that we were obviously microanalyzing.
Yeah.
It was considered a not very well-kept secret. From your perspective, how well was that secret kept that it was going to be Jacoby Brissett going forward, as you were one of the first to break the story?
Well, again, to me, it was just interesting that he even opened the door on Drake May competing for that job into training camp. Like, everybody expected all along that it was going to be Jacoby Brissett's job, that when the announcement came, that it was a foregone conclusion that Brissett would start on opening day. And all of a sudden, So Rob Mayo's calling it a competition, saying both guys are competing. Now, the great part about that is if you're rooting for the Patriots, you have to feel encouraged about what Drake May has shown the team this summer to get the head coach to even put them in the same sentence at that time when everybody expected it was going to be Jacoby Brissett. But that's what happened. And Drake May competed. Again, I don't think anybody ever thought that with a road game being the first game that Drake May was going to be the starter. But certainly he seemed to have impressed the organization, seemed to have closed ground, seemed to be further along than people thought. And I think the fact that it's Brissett, that's not a surprise to anybody right now.
Adam, the NFL gets underway on Thursday. Then on Friday, we have that Brazil game where Darius Slay has been expressing his desire to not go to Brazil and not have his family in Brazil. How much does Roger Goodell, the NFL owners, take into account what players want moving forward in terms of international games and these kinds of security concerns when we all know that in the end it's a rising tide of dollars that lifts all boats?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, these plans were made a long time ago, and I'm sure there are some players that have, as you said, voiced their displeasure and unhappiness about going, and I'm sure the league will consider that in the future, but the fact of the matter is it committed to Brazil a long time ago, just like it's committed to other cities for the future. So somebody may not like playing in Germany, or somebody might not playing when they get to playing in wherever they do, but the league is going to go forward with those plans because it's a priority to the league right now to play international games and to grow the brand across the world and the globe. And that's what the league is determined to do. So, look, the players get paid. And there are times sometimes when a Monday night game, when we're doing Monday night countdown, may be in the outdoors of a cold city. And I may not be thrilled about that, but that's what it is. What am I going to tell you? I've had to do games internationally. I might not be thrilled with the but the check clears every week. So you're a player, you're going to go. That's it. And if you listen to the rules and hang with Big Dom from the Eagles security team, you're going to be just fine. No issues.
All right. Adam, before we let you go here, Brandon Ayuk was someone that was on the Patriots radar to try and make a trade. Yeah. We got details then on the offer that was made. Seemed like a good offer. Seemed like a lot of money. Is New England a place that players do not want to come to?
No, I don't think it was that at all. Again, they're at a different stage, their program, than other people. If I could tell you this, how quickly did it turn around in Houston to where that's now a destination, right? A year or two ago, there wasn't anybody that willingly wanted to go play in Houston. And now I'm sure there are people who want to sign up and go there. And that's what happens with franchises. Again, was it an issue in New England when Tom Brady was playing there and they were winning? Did people want to come to New England then?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Okay. So here's what I would say. If Drake May turns out to be the quarterback they hope and think he can, and if Rob Mayo turns out to be the coach that they hope and think he can, and if this team gets back on the winning track the way that they hope and think they can, then there'll be players that want to come there. Now, do I think that a top choice for Brandon? No, it was not. But that's to be expected at this point for where the organization's at.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Adam Schefter, great talking with you. We look forward to talking with you all football season, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Christian, thank you for having me. Enjoy week one, and we'll talk next Wednesday and every Wednesday.
All right, that is the great Adam Schefter joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. A very busy man. He's got, I'm sure, a bunch more of these to get to today, but it was great to talk with him, and we'll be talking with him every week on Wednesdays at 3:45. So mark that on your calendars. That's when you'll be hearing from Adam Schefter.
Do you think every week he'll ask what I think is a rhetorical question and then pause and wait for an actual answer?
I really thought that he was just going to answer it himself, but no, he was waiting to hear us say yes, Adam.
Did they want to come there when Brady
to play here with Tom Brady, but he also answered that question by not answering. No one wanted to go to Houston until they got good.
And that's what it is.
So no one wants to come to New England.
I mean, right now,
that's basically the answer, right?
But he's telling us that by December, people could want to come to New England when Drake May plays and Drake May shows that he's a young gun quarterback.
All right.
And so, we just need to be ready when Jamar Chase and T. Higgins want out of Cincy. That's how what I took from everything there.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, God willing, we'll be joined by Red Sox manager Alex Cora.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.